Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
As everyone hears, we're talking about Hennessy's future additions.
Dick and balls.
His future dick and balls. And
I'm going to send pictures to Judy all the time.
No, you're not. Dick. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled. Thrilled. You know, there's certain guests I have. You know, I love comics. But this guy.
Yeah.
First of all, I've known him since I began doing stand-up. He is, I hate the word legend because he's still going strong.
I would say you're both legends.
But he's awesome. I mean, he's, the thing is, I don't know. I love so many things about him. I love his attitude. I love his stand-up. I love his acting.
Ditto.
And I love that he's had a major impact. I think as far as, you know, late night talk shows are concerned, or I think he's had a major impact and yet has not been given the credit he deserves.
Agreed.
So as, you know.
Where is that credit? How does that credit come? Does it come in form
it
of
just,
money?
No, just, it comes. No, never. It never comes for
kind.
Money, but it comes from maybe some sort of acknowledgement.
Well, he's got a huge, like a very strong following, like from.
Right. But it's like, come on, guys.
Why don't you say my name?
This is the buildup. It's the buildup.
Sorry, okay.
But it's like,
I don't know when to go on. I feel like I'm off stage.
No. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't hold on any longer. Alan Havey is here. Woo! Yay! Alan Havey.
Very, very kind. Thank you very much.
But it's true, Alan.
No, I have gotten the credit.
Because you have?
Yes. Over the years, I've run into people, whether they're audience members, audience of one members. You're talking about my old show, Night After Night.
Right.
On Comedy Channel and then Comedy Central. I've talked to guys who are now writers, actors, and they, you know, every now and then they'll pull me aside and say, hey, man, I just want to say your show really meant a lot to me, and I loved watching it, and, you know, so I just want you to know I appreciate that. Good. So I've gotten that.
But that's good.
That's everything.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, your intro, you know, you call me a legend stuff, but comedians that I work with now watch me when they were in junior high.
Right, high school.
You know? And I still love doing it.
I'm the same. I feel like, you know, I read a lot about you, and I was like, oh, my God, bingo, bingo, bingo. I feel very, what's that word I'm looking for?
But influence.
I feel, you know.
I've been around a lot.
Yeah, but I also feel like we have similar attitudes about what we do. You know. There's so many comics who
are... We're in the same kind of wheelhouse in a lot.
Right.
We both have a lot of anger, a lot of
passion. Right, a lot of anger, passion. But I love what I do. And there are so many times I'm on stage going, oh, my God, this is the fucking greatest thing in the entire world.
Yeah.
And then you get off stage.
Or off stage. Right. Yesterday I did the brunch show at the Comedy
Store. Oh, how is that? I've never done it.
Oh, it's great. And
I can't imagine being funny. Are they drinking?
Yeah, they're drinking. And upstairs, not the comedians, upstairs hanging out with two separate groups of comedians. Because you can come down and have breakfast
with right.
a comedian there, you don't, even if you're
right.
not on the show. And I'm just sitting there listening to different conversations,
right.
two separate tables. And they were talking about everything, but no one was talking about their career. No one was talking about
right.
Netflix special, who got what, or
right.
what's going to do, or who books that room.
Right.
And that's what I love about comedians.
Right. They
talk about anything. I'm interested, and in LA, there's a little more obsession with where am I going? Where's my career going?
Right.
What's going to happen? Who got that? How come I didn't get
right,
that?
Right, right, right.
And there is, I think, more of that overall generally in comedy because there's a lot more opportunities.
Right.
But it was just, when I get a compliment from a fellow comedian, it doesn't matter if they've been doing it 20 years.
Oh, 20 I know.
Minutes, that I love that. And so I have gotten credit all along the way, and as comedians we get credit as we're working,
right?
So I don't feel, you know, I haven't gotten my due or recognized.
That's a right. I've never heard that we get credit while we're doing
yeah,
it.
Right,
like, yeah,
why do you think we do it?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I guess I'm a performer too, and I never thought of that as credit.
But do you feel like you've grown into that attitude, or that you started?
I always appreciated it along the way,
right?
But just as I've gotten older,
right?
I appreciate everything
right.
more.
Mm.
A cup of coffee,
right?
A great dessert,
right?
Just a nice moment,
right?
You know, I think that comes with age,
and right.
I have been working against being bitter or staying bitter
right.
and angry. I've been meditating the last 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I still get angry, of course.
Oh, but, so I meditate.
I get
angry while I'm meditating. Good night, folks.
You certainly, growing older, if you get a different perspective.
Yeah.
You get, okay,
right.
as you look back on stuff. So I think that has a combination of that.
Right.
And, you know, I work at it.
It's a lot of work.
About 10 years ago, I realized, you know, I got to make money in another area. Because
right.
stand-up, I don't want to do cruise ships.
Right, right.
My acting career wasn't really great.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a seminar called Curtain Up, specifically for college theater students or music or anyone going into the performing arts in mm-hmm. college. And I gave a few talks at my alma mater, Florida State. And I was trying to sell this, get together with people and bop around
mm-hmm.
colleges and do this. And it's basically, I asked a lot of peers, those first 2 years out of college or in the business, what helped you? What worked against you? That's all I asked. And I got a great response, and I put it all together, and I did this.
That's
talk.
So great, and that's a great question.
So I'm still going to do this
right.
seminar, but thankfully I've been busy with acting and
right.
stand-up.
AlanHavey.com/curtain-up.
Yeah, the website's down now, but my website's up. But, you know.
AlanHavey.com. A-L-L. A-N, the wrong way, the wrong way.
But what I did before I went out to the seminar, I watched every single motivational speech
really?
On the internet you could get for free. I didn't buy anything.
Right, right, right.
I'd taken the Tony Robbins course years ago.
Yeah.
I saturated myself
right.
with all this information, and I think it really adjusted my mood. And the advice I give in the seminar, I started taking for myself, and that's when things started.
All right, what's the best piece of advice?
Follow your gut.
Yep. I say that all the time when people ask me what's your big, and it's because anytime I haven't followed my gut, it's been a bad outcome. Well, I know there's something wrong here. There's something wrong, and you question yourself and question yourself, and it's always right. Your gut is always right.
I don't think it's always right. Because I followed my gut and it was the wrong thing.
Right, right.
But at least you did it. You worked that.
There's no one else to blame. Yeah.
And you know, you're out there following my gut. There's a lot of obstacles. You really set your mind up. You know, it's not always easy. But if I was going to give one piece of advice, follow your gut, follow your heart.
Right.
Mostly your gut.
Right.
Your stomach is different than your heart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Your head, I would say gut, head, then heart is last.
Right. You know? I just want to just interrupt right now and say that someone stole my key holder off my bike while I was getting while I was at the doctor on the Upper East Side. Just want to say that for my kill me now moment of the day.
You mean so
like
you,
I have a little thing?
Your keys are in it.
Pouch, like a little pouch?
Yeah, I have a little pouch I keep on. It's Velcroed.
That sucks.
And it's like you're on the Upper East Side.
I bet
you
it was somebody that makes at least 150
a
year.
And it was like, oh, that's a cool little key holder.
I think I'll take that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's just like so fucking annoying. I come downstairs. I'm like, really? All right, so I just wanted to say that. Anyway, so Alan, you grew up in St. Louis, Missouri?
No, I was born there.
Oh, you were born in St. Louis,
yes.
But you grew up in Florida?
Miami, yeah. Raised in Miami.
Wow.
Yeah.
During the
60s.
But it was different. It's way it was different then than it was.
Well, yeah. I'm going to be 64 in September.
Wow.
So.
You look good.
Thank you. You know what it is?
What?
It's the heavy trifecta.
I like this.
Open mind, loving heart, prudent in carnal matters.
Nice. That's the root.
Yeah, baby.
The top to the bottom. It's kind of a joke.
And so you grew up, and then you went to Florida State. And what did you study at? First of all, were you popular in school?
I was a wise ass. I opened my mouth a lot. I found out very early on that being funny and getting laughs was very enjoyable.
And also powerful.
Yes. Mm. And that was kindergarten.
Right. What's your best kindergarten joke?
I can tell you the first joke I told at the family table.
What?
It was it was January 20th, 1961. Kennedy was inaugurated.
Right.
And my dad, you know, we have four kids, and my mom, you know, all right, kids, we got a new president. My mom goes, Charlie, Bernice, goddammit. He would say G-O-T, so he wouldn't blast.
Right.
He goes, And there's two pieces of fried chicken left. We were really happy. We were Catholics. We felt, as kids, we prayed. So we helped Kennedy over this evil Nixon. This guy looked like Satan. You know, we were little kids. We didn't know anything.
Yeah.
We didn't know how close it was.
Right.
And so there's two pieces of chicken left. One piece of fried chicken left. My brother and I both wanted it. My dad said, if you can tell me the middle name, we have a new president, John F. Kennedy. If you can tell me what F stands for, you can have the chicken. And I said, Fidel.
Oh, that's good.
I was like 6 years old. My parents cracked up.
That's awesome. Did you get the chicken?
Yep, I did. So I got early on, being funny is better than being right.
You know what? That's true. And you know what struck me about that story? I don't think my parents ever made fried chicken. Ever.
Probably not. You're Jewish.
Right.
Yeah. No.
No, we didn't have fried food.
No.
Mm. I mean, we had fried smelts.
Yeah, I'm like, going to have, Alan's
house. It would have to have a
falafel.
You know, not Mediterranean.
Not that kind of chain.
Yeah, more Eastern European. Okay, so you're one of four. Mm-hmm. Which one are you?
Second.
Wow.
Yeah, second kid, older brother. Uh-huh. My older brother could do anything.
Right.
He's a scuba diver. He built model rockets. He built erector sets. You know, he got on his bike for some and took off. Real overachiever kind of a guy.
So
my parents gave me a yo-yo and a helmet and stuck me in the middle of the field and said, good luck.
All
right, keep away from Alan.
And then any sisters?
Yeah, two little sisters.
Right.
Anne and Mary. Both got married young.
Right.
They had children, and their children are having children. My brother and I, no kids.
Wow, both your brother and you know, so there's no one carrying on the Havy name.
No, it ends with, my niece Sarah, it's her middle name.
Oh, all right.
And who knows? Maybe I'll adopt.
Yeah. I love when older gentlemen adopt children. I think it's great.
It's not going to happen.
Okay, so then you, in high school, did you play sports?
No.
Just no. Wise
Tried
ass.
Out for football, didn't make it. It right. Did in Little League football, but didn't make the cut. Basketball didn't make the cut. Baseball didn't even try out.
Right.
Never had any confidence. Skinny guy.
Right.
But just a wise ass. Love to make jokes. Love to do oral reports. And right. To get up. And
anything to get attention in front
yes.
of the audience.
Skits,
now
skits at school.
Right.
Homecoming. You know. And
did you go to the prom?
Yeah. Yeah. Went with a girl who was on the prom. She was on the committee. She didn't, wasn't the queen.
But, right.
Yeah. So wow. You know, I was popular with a certain group
right.
of people. But I was the biggest mouth, so I was right. voted wittiest in
right.
high school.
Right,
and but another thing, you talk about luck. Good group in grade school, good group in high school, college. I went to community college for a couple of years, good group. Florida State, good group.
Right.
Come to New York, get involved with comedians, good group of comedians.
Right.
So I've always been blessed. I've been around a lot of good people.
Right.
You know, good group of people.
Now, what did you... What did you study when you got to college?
Theater.
Oh, you were a theater major.
Yeah. So I was at a barbershop. My dad was getting a haircut when I was a little kid, maybe like 10,
mm-hmm.
8. And he goes, yeah, Joe's daughter is going to be a theater major in college. She wants to be an actress. Well, Joe's daughter. And I'm sitting there going, you can go to college and study theater?
Right.
Because I wasn't going to go to college.
Right.
I was an underachiever, classic
right.
underachiever.
Did your brother go to college?
Yeah.
All
right. He went to college. But he dropped out, got into a business, and then he went back, got his MBA.
Right.
He didn't get an undergraduate degree. He got an MBA.
Right.
But he did real well
Skip
in business.
That.
Right.
And retired today. You know, he's a great patriarch.
Right.
My parents are both gone.
Right.
Studied theater. And that's when, oh, this is where I belong. Community college
right.
in Miami. Black, white, Hispanic.
Any Jews?
Gay, straight. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. This is the Jew bell.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that. They warned me about that.
Oh, they did? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's theater. Plenty
yeah.
of. So it was great. This is like fantastic.
Now, what was the gay percentage in the theater department?
20% maybe.
Really? That's it?
Maybe.
Well, it was it was in the 70s, so.
Right.
Yeah, so people weren't out.
Well, then no. The percentages went up as a few people came out of the closet.
Right, right, right.
Life went on.
Right.
You know.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying, you know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
So you studied theater. You graduated. Did your parents go to your graduation?
No, I didn't go to the graduation ceremony.
Why?
I paid for it. I didn't want to.
Why?
I just wanted my degree and wanted to get the hell out. I didn't want to go put on a cap and gown.
I felt that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
I did. I went to it.
Right. But I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have my cap and gown.
When we were kids, your mother and father sent you to parochial schools, grade school, high school, college, you're on your own.
Really?
Yeah,
did you pay for college?
Yeah, I worked my way through college.
Wow. That is not Jewish. Now,
no, it's not Jewish. But I got my degree. My dad, you're not getting your degree. You didn't get your degree. I've got it. Came one day in the mail, stuck it in his mashed potatoes.
No way.
Yeah, there it is. And he took it. I got, oh my God, your mother and I are going to get this framed.
That's crazy.
That was the last I saw of it.
So
they lost.
That's
it.
Hilarious.
Something went.
You could probably get another copy. Did your father go to college?
No. Well, no, he did. He was in the Pacific during World War II.
Right.
Then he went to Missouri to get a degree in journalism.
Right.
Then he dropped out.
Right. So what did he end up doing?
Renting cars and trucks in the movie business for a while. Mm-hmm. Not doing a lot.
Right.
Good guy, though.
Right.
Turned me on to old movies, woke me up to watch Carson when I was a kid.
Oh, that's great.
My father is the reason why I'm in show business.
That's really
And what was your mother like?
A very dry sense of humor, German Catholic.
Oh, German.
No, no. She
Not
she,
German?
No, she was born here. She didn't have an accent.
Right.
It's PTSD.
Just, you know. Basic Catholic,
right.
You know, lower middle class kids.
Wow.
Middle class, lower middle class.
So you graduate college. You come to New York.
Yeah. I go home, make some money, get the hell out of Miami. Right. Come to New York, get a kidney stone attack, go back to Miami, get surgery for it. You know.
You had surgery instead of passing it through?
I couldn't get it through. It was lodged in my ureter.
Right.
You know,
in your
ureter.
It's underneath the kidney.
Yeah.
Learned a lot about my kidneys at 23, 24.
Is that's young to have a kidney stone, isn't it?
But I worked at a deli restaurant for 2 years, and a lot of Cokes and a lot of like cheese and
salty
meats and stuff, and you know, it happens.
Yeah, I'm worried about Henry. All he does is eat fucking burgers. Every fucking meal is a burger. No cheese, but Henry, you can't eat fucking burgers every meal.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, are they really good burgers? I mean,
I don't know. He just shoves them. It's like,
matter.
Oh, the burger.
Yeah.
Or a cheddar cheese omelet. What? What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. I've just
How old is
been
Henry?
Eating a lot of burgers recently.
He's 21.
Okay.
Yeah, he eats like shit. He ate well as a child, and now he eats like shit. Okay, so you come to New York after your whole kidney thing. Where do you live? Where do you pass at? What comedy club do you pass at first? And who are your peers?
Well,
good
we gotta
questions.
Go back to college first. I had a comedy partner.
That was me hitting my fucking chair against the desk. Go ahead.
John McFarlane, who was a classmate of mine. And
yeah.
We didn't get the biggest part, so we had time to go around backstage. And we started. We came up with some comedy routines,
with
skits. So we came up to when I came to New York. I moved in with my buddy John, who had an apartment.
John McFarlane, different buddy.
Different buddy. He had a room, an extra room, so I moved up here, got a place right away. My rent was like $160 a month, which was even back then ridiculous.
Right.
Got a job right down the street bartending.
Where did you?
Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, you were living in Hell's Kitchen.
I'm going down 43rd and 9th. That's where the bar is. On 44th and 9th, that's where the improv
Improv,
is.
Yep.
So I work with my partner for a year. I get frustrated. We both have.
Did you get on stage together?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But not really a comedy club so much. Sensibility was different. So I went off on my own to do stand up. And the first big club I passed was the Improv.
Right.
Yeah.
With Silver?
Yeah. Best, one of the biggest yeses in show business.
Right.
You know, it's always great when we hear yes.
Did you stand online to take a number?
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
I did everything. Waited outside a Catch on the sidewalk to take a number. Comic strip to take a number.
Right.
Went to every open mic in the city.
People don't realize you had to stand outside, take a number, and then go back that night. And when your number...
And hang all night.
Yeah, hang all night.
And then when you pass, then you just go there and hang.
Hang. That's
really...
when I knew I was funny. Because when I passed at Catch, and I'd hang all night, I'd get on at 2 in the morning, and the band would laugh.
Yes.
That's how I knew I was funny.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
I'll go to your shows now, and like if I get to be backstage at something that you're doing, I mean... The crew is always gathering around the wings when you're on, like cracking up.
Oh, that's the biggest compliment, I think. Yes. Or other comics coming in to watch you.
Yes. Well, that was a goal when I was an early young comic improv. One day I'm going to go up there and the comedians are going to come in to watch
me.
Because I would see them going to watch other guys.
Right.
So. Yeah. That's
and that
a
happened
great goal.
Once, like a couple years later. So I felt good about that.
So at the improv at this time, this is what, 1981?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and is Chris Albrecht the.
No, Chris Albrecht's already gone.
Oh, he's gone. He was Chris.
Harry, Pat Buckles started.
Oh, yeah, Pat Buckles. Chris Albrecht was the head of HBO for many, many years, but he was the door guy at the Improv.
Yeah, I heard about those days, but I wasn't part of that.
So it was Silver Friedman.
Right.
Bud, and she was married to Bud Friedman. They got divorced. Bud went to L.A. and opened the L.A. Improv, and Silver opened the, I love that club, that New York Improv.
She just kept the Improv.
Kept the Improv.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
I mean, that piano, that door, the side door. I mean, it was just, and now it's a fucking Italian restaurant.
Well, you know.
I know. And they had,
things change. That's another thing.
I know. I'm not good with that.
Staying in this business and keeping it fresh. You know, when things change, oh, remember when that place was over there? Okay, yeah. Things change.
I know. I'm very nostalgic and it's bad.
It's funny. I was more nostalgic when I was young.
Oh, sorry. Why? Well, oh, and I didn't do Silver Friedman. Go ahead, Bud. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, damn, you're gonna ring
I mean, I'm like so into you that I'm forgetting my bell. Go.
You talk about Fiddler on the Roof. You're going to be ringing that bell all day. You got to accept change.
Right.
That you can't control.
Right.
I mean, it's, you know, and sometimes it does suck.
Right.
The Catch in Cambridge was a great
room. I loved that club.
It was a great room, and everybody bemoaned the fact when it went away. But, you know, Catch a Rising Star on First Avenue's gone.
Right. Princeton. Is it still there, the Princeton one?
Yeah, I believe it is.
But it was really good in the beginning. Remember that brunch?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the last place my father ever saw me
perform. And I suggested something to the manager there. He was like 30. He goes, and he had his little nameplate. He goes, don't tell me how to do my job. And I go, I've been doing this for a while. I'm just suggesting something. You don't have to snap it.
Yeah, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, and I haven't been back there.
Oh, that's a shame.
All right. So
change.
You're at the Improv, which, by the way, had the best French fries. I mean, they used to cut the potatoes.
Jean-Paul.
Yeah, Jean-Paul. And Uncle Dirty was there.
Uncle Dirty.
Oh, my God.
Ron Darien, John Hannah, Lou DiMaggio, John Mendoza, Dom Herrera.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Geez, I'm just trying to think of comedians not Jewish, so I don't have to.
Oh, fuck. Are you kidding? Seinfeld was there.
Yeah. Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Jimmy Brogan.
Yeah.
Larry David.
Yeah.
You know what's great? Jerry and Larry were two of my favorites. Totally different comedians.
Yeah. Yes. Mm.
And when they came together and collaborated and did Seinfeld, I go, okay.
It's perfect.
Perfect marriage of comedic sensibilities, you know.
So you pass at the Improv, then where do you pass?
Catch. And then Bill Grunfest one night approached we have a place called the Comedy Cellar downtown. We're going to pay $15.
Mm-hmm. Which was a lot.
Yeah, it was like, I think, $5 at the Improv. Excuse me. And we're going to feed you and you can drink for free. Oh. So I went down and it was tough because there weren't a lot of people.
Right, yeah, there was like five.
Manny, Menachem Dorman, who ran said, I want this place to be a place where comedians come even if they're not working here.
Right.
Love that.
And he planted that seed, which has grown into the mighty oak.
That place is unbelievable. Yeah. Like when I'm in a clinical depression, deep depression, and I go there and sit with the other comics, it's like...
therapeutic?
I feel safe.
Which club again are you talking
you
about?
You know, Comedy Cellar.
Comedy Cellar. Oh,
I just feel safe there. Yeah. I feel like, oh, okay. I feel loved. I feel... I don't know. I just feel like, oh my God, I don't know. Something happens to me.
Yeah, it's very calming. Yeah. Even if I'm there and I'm not in, you know, talking to anybody, right. I'm just around there. I just
right.
love it.
Right.
You know?
So.
But that was nice, getting in there. And
I mean, I remember going there. There was be five people in the audience. I mean, you cannot even get a reservation there now. And they have three rooms.
Yeah. Did they still do the free ticket?
And Bill was so good. If I was in a riff, if I was
right.
just cooking.
Right.
And I was just going off. He would let me go.
Right.
Bit. He would give me the stretch signal, which
right.
you never see anymore.
No.
And I've grown as a comedian more in that room than any other room.
Well, how do you think... comedy shows, you know, because I remember I started in the mid-80s and, you know, these comedy shows would go, I mean, especially at Catch, they'd start at 8
right.
and go till 3 in the morning.
Well, they'd go till the crowd left.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it.
Same thing at the Improv.
Right.
You know, you'd come back from a gig in Jersey
yeah.
late on a Saturday and you had like a 120 spot.
Right.
If there was still a crowd there. It was like, wow.
Right.
The MC did a good job.
Yeah.
So I started emceeing there.
That's that.
And
yeah.
my goal was to keep the crowd there.
Right.
And it would make other comedians happy.
But it doesn't happen like that anymore. And the MC now, it's like, I mean, I remember when I started, that was, it was like, oh my God, this person's, the MC was the star, basically, of the show.
Yeah, it was a prestigious
yeah.
spot. It was an honor to be an MC.
Right.
I still think it is, but people, like in 88, started thinking of it, especially road comics.
Right.
You know, I'm an MC, but I'm really a feature.
Right.
I'm a feature, but I'm
really
a
headliner.
Headliner
yeah.
That kind of thing.
That's
you know,
so
when
funny.
You're the MC, it's your show. You're
right.
the host of the party.
Right.
And what kills me is MCs bring somebody up to go upstairs. They have no idea what's going on
right.
in the room. Seller has really good MCs.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they have great shows.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you're doing stand-up. You get a spot on Letterman in 1986.
Yeah.
Is that was your first?
No.
No?
No. The new show. 1983.
Oh, right. Oh right.
Lorne Michaels' first show after he left Saturday Night Live. Started auditioning a new show, and every comedian in the world
right.
was coveting, wanting to get on there.
Right.
I, fortunately, by really interesting a twist of fate, got cast in that show.
Right.
So that was cool.
Right. This is 1983.
I auditioned in 83. It started in 84.
Okay.
Jay worked with Gilda Radner, Steve Martin,
oh,
John Candy.
My God.
Dave Thomas, Catherine O'Hara,
oh,
met Randy Newman, Paul Simon. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a great learning experience. It only went 12 weeks.
What
now.
Was the name of the show?
The new show. See? People don't remember it.
Wow. And I did do all of my...
Yeah. No, you
fucking
did your due...
sucks.
No, you did your due diligence. It just started to show up on IMDb. I'm not
really?
Even credited in there. But...
And you were like a
junior cast
right.
player.
Right. So it was like it was like SNL.
It was exactly the
right.
same template as SNL,
right.
only an hour long.
Right. Okay. So then your first stand-up thing on TV.
85, Merv.
No way.
The last year he was
How did I
I don't think it's yeah, I
All
think
right.
it is in my IMDb.
All right.
It was the last year
Merv Griffin.
Yeah,
what was that
on.
Like?
It was great. It was
That's
great.
Awesome.
Wait.
I got bumped one night then I got brought back again so I was paid
That
twice.
Was in LA?
Yeah, that was in Los Angeles.
No way.
Yeah, it was great.
So like were your parents alive for this?
My mom.
And was she
oh,
like
Oh, they loved it. Hmm. And my mom was alive for the talk show. And the first one night stand special.
Right.
You know, so that was good.
So you do Merv. Who are you on with?
I forget.
It oh, was, my God.
A
what a
ago.
Fucking awesome
yeah,
experience. Was he nice?
Very nice. It was great. It was easy. It was fun. I had a great time.
Okay.
And then next year it was the Letterman.
Right. So then you do Letterman
right.
in 86.
Right.
And at that time, because I had just started, that was, I mean, it was enormous.
Oh, yeah. Letterman
you know?
Became the show to be on.
Right.
Everybody wanted to get on Carson. That was
right.
Yankee Stadium. But Letterman became the hipper show.
Right.
Especially due to Jay Leno's appearances. And
right.
Letterman was really in a good groove, and it really became very popular.
And you were you definitely had his sensibility. And
it's a good feeling when you're out there and you hear your Dave laughing.
Right.
You know, that was always a great compliment.
So time goes on. You did two one-night stands for HBO.
Right.
You get this show night after night.
Yeah, that was I did this special during Night After Night.
Right.
I got Night After Night in 89.
So 89 was... It wasn't Comedy Central. There was Ha
Comedy Channel.
And the Comedy Channel.
It was a Comedy Channel.
Right.
And they were auditioning again.
Right.
Every comedian in the world.
And you didn't really want it.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.